أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تحسنت بذي الملك والملكوت، واستعنت بذي العزة والعظمة والجبروت، وتوكلت على الحي الذي لا يموت من كل ما أخاف وأحذر. اللهم صل على حبيبك وخاتم رسلك سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: لقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم عظيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respectable audience and distinguished listeners, you are well aware that in the previous lecture we talked about Almighty Allah's creatorship. And we say that Almighty Allah alone is the creator of the universe and the whole phenomena we see. And then we said and we explained, we give this exposition that the first and foremost creator is Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah is the only independent creator. If the rest of the human beings or if the rest of the creatures create something, they recourse to Almighty Allah's will and permission. They take recourse to Almighty Allah's will and permission. Save Almighty Allah's permission and will, they are not able to create even a single part, a very, very single and tiny thing. They are not able to create. Keeping in mind that Almighty Allah is alone the creator, today, God willing, we are going to talk about Almighty Allah's unity in worship, or monotheism in worship. So right now, let's talk about this monotheism in worship. What does it mean? So monotheism in worship means that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. Almighty Allah alone is the one who deserves to be worshipped. No other being, no other thing deserves to be worshipped. This is the meaning of monotheism in worship. But let's talk about this in detail. That what does worship mean from the lexical point of view, and what does worship mean from terminological and technical point of view? So we have to have both the technical and lexical meanings of the worship. What does worship mean? From the Arabic point of view, ibadah means lenience. And also it means humility. It means submission. It means being gentle, being submissive, being modest. Modesty and humility is the meaning of ibadah. This is the lexical meaning of ibadah, as it has been pointed out by the author of Maqayisul Lugha, which is a well-celebrated dictionary in giving the full definition of the Arabic words. The technical meaning of ibadah is composed of two pillars, or composed of two components. The technical meaning of ibadah is humility, modesty, extreme respect, along with a belief in edification, along with the belief of divinity. I do request our honorable listeners and viewers that they have to pay extreme heed to this second condition that we put in the technical sense of ibadah, so that later on we will discuss some of the doubts. And those doubts will be refuted on condition that we have to have this condition in our definition of ibadah. The condition we have put in our Shi'at's theology and put in lexic and technical definition of ibadah is a belief in one's divinity. If you pay extreme reverence and homage or respect, you will not be called a person who worships. Even if you pay extreme heed and attention and respect to Almighty Allah, but without the belief that He is our Lord and He is our Creator, for sure you will not be called a worshiper. A worshiper is called a person who not only pays extreme respect, but also he believes in that things or in that one's divinity. We say that when we worship Almighty Allah, we prostrate in front of Almighty Allah. We bow against our Almighty Allah. We pay and we display respect to the extreme extent, to the extent it is possible. But it is not enough. We should also have this inward belief. We should have this inward conviction in our heart that Almighty Allah alone is the Lord. His Lordship and His divinity should also be acknowledged and should be accepted. Otherwise, we will not be called the real worshiper. So, respectable audience, once again, I do emphasize that the second condition of ibadah should be taken into account. The lexical meaning of ibadah became lenient submission, modesty, and humility. But the technical meaning of ibadah in worship means not only paying extreme heed, extreme respect and homage, but also this respect must be accompanied by our belief or by one's belief in Almighty Allah's divinity. Otherwise, his understanding of ibadah is not a complete understanding. So it makes a very striking difference between our definition of ibadah and someone else who define ibadah as simple respect. But we do not believe that a simple respect should be included in the definition of ibadah. Ibadah does not include simple respect, even to the idol. If you respect the idol only, and you should not believe in its divinity, for sure, you have not done a polytheistic action. Yes, for sure, if you believe in its divinity, or in other than Allah's divinity, and then you respect, of course, this is a polytheistic act. This is a polytheistic practice. But if you do worship Almighty Allah without believing that He is your Lord, again, this understanding of worship is not a complete understanding. So worship includes two components, or worship is based on two important in uncompromising pillars. The first pillar is displaying extreme respect and reverence. And the second pillar is that you have to believe in its divinity or in His divinity. For example, we believe in Almighty Allah. Not only we worship Almighty Allah in the sense that we respect Him, but also we believe in Almighty Allah's divinity. We believe firmly in Almighty Allah's Lordship, that He is alone our Lord. He is alone our Creator. This is the lexical and technical concepts of worship, ibadah. Respectable audience and distinguished listeners, Tawheed in Ibadah, or monotheism in worship, is one of those concepts that the Muslims or the Islamic schools of thought, all of them unanimously agree upon this concept, that only Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. No one and nothing deserves to be worshipped save Almighty Allah, for He is alone the independent creator, for He alone is the independent source of strength. So the human beings and the rest of the creatures, since they belong in their origination, in their existence, in their continuance to Almighty Allah, so none of them and nothing deserves to be worshipped. None of them can stand beside Almighty Allah. This is first. Secondly, they have given, the Muslims have given the motto in the slogan of La ilaha illallah. They have actually exemplified their monotheistic approach and attitude to this slogan, that no Lord is there save Almighty Allah. This is called monotheistic approach. So it is something that we all, the Muslim factions, the Muslim cliques, the Muslim ramifications or denominations, whatever you call it, all the Muslim branches believe in unity of worship, that Almighty Allah alone should be worshipped, none should be associated with Him. And no one should be treated as we treat God. None should be given the status we give to God. Dear listeners and respectable audience, we say it in the technical meaning of worship, there is a condition that our respect, our homage should be accompanied by belief in edification, or should be accompanied or should be mixed with a belief in one's divinity. You might ask me or other Shia theologians, me as a student, and other the scholars, that is this concept derived from the Holy Quran, or it is something the theologians have added? We believe that if we have a very comprehensive look at the Holy Quran's verses, for sure we can draw this condition considering all aspects of this topic. For example, in this verse of the Holy Quran that Almighty Allah has said, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. For sure, Almighty Allah has sent the Nuh to his nation. فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ. O my nation, you ought to worship the Lord alone. مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهِ. There is no other Lord save Almighty Allah. إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. For I'm very much fearful and I'm very much concerned of the painful chastisement and the grave chastisement that awaits. He who associates other gods with Almighty Allah, he has to wait and he has to expect Almighty Allah's painful chastisement or the grave chastisement. So what this verse of the Holy Quran gave us, the clue? The clue is that all the prophets, all the divine apostles and messengers have unanimously prevented the human beings that they should worship other God than Almighty Allah. So it means that whenever they think, whenever they say that you should not worship, it means if you worship, then a grave chastisement will be awaiting. Or a grave chastisement will be there for you, and you will be involved in those painful chastisement. It means that not only Almighty Allah emphasizes on positive aspect of Almighty Allah, that Almighty Allah exists alone, Almighty Allah is there alone, but also makes this warning through his messengers, through his apostles, that none should be associated to Almighty Allah in worship. No one should be taken with Almighty Allah in worship. From the historical point of view, this point can also be substantiated. Why? Because Almighty Allah says to those Arab pagans that you should not worship these idols. Why? Because they did believe in divinity of these idols. So Almighty Allah stops them from worshiping. Almighty Allah says that these creatures, that they cannot give you either harm or benefit. Why you worship these idols? لا يملكون لكم نفع ولا ضر. Neither they can bring about benefits, nor can they secure or save you from the harms. So why you believe in divinity of these idols that you have created yourselves? So in these human-made idols, that they believed in their divinity, Almighty Allah says that this act and these practices should not be continued. So it means Almighty Allah emphasizes that if they believe, or if a tribe, if a nation believes in the idol's divinity, this practice and this belief and this idea, this theory should be stopped. So, respectable audience, you know that why we emphasized a lot, why we embarked on this very, very subtle and sensitive point, that paying extreme heed should be accompanied by a belief in one's divinity, and then it is worship. So now we say that such an understanding, such a comprehension is derived from the Holy Quran. You know that we have this verse of the Holy Quran that Almighty Allah says, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. It means that you have to be very much gentle towards your parents and request God that, Almighty Allah, you may shower your blessings upon my parents as they have trained and educated me, or as they have brought me up during the childhood. So showing and displaying extensive respect towards our parents cannot be called worship. Why? Because this extensive or this extreme respect is not accompanied by a belief in their divinity. If showing and displaying simple respect was called worship, so why this verse of the Holy Quran says us that we have to be extremely gentle towards our parents? If simple or if mere respect is called worship, as some of the Wahhabis say, that to show respect toward your parents, it is somewhat associating your parents to God. Of course, this is not true. We should not let it happen that this understanding should prevail over the Muslim Ummah. Why? Because nowadays in our daily life or on the daily basis, we respect our teachers, we respect our parents, we respect our elder brothers, we respect our even elder friends. So this respect, this reverence that we pay for our elder brothers, our parents, our fathers, our mothers, they cannot be termed as worship. Though you have to be gentle enough towards your parents, but this submissiveness that you show towards your parents, this cannot be called as ibadah. Why? Because this kind of respect is not accompanied by this belief that they are divine or they are Lord. If this respect was accompanied by a belief in their divinity, it would have been worship. But we do not do this. Why? Because the Holy Quran in various places say that you have to be gentle enough towards your parents, as the prophets have been gentle enough towards their parents, or they have shown and displayed excessive respect towards their sons even. For example, Jacob, he has showed excessive respect, I mean in the form of prostration to Yusuf or to Joseph alayhi salam. But this prostration was not called as worship, though it was in its extreme possible form. But again, expression of respect was not termed and was not called as worship. So to make it precise, or to be precise, I should say that if you respect your parents excessively, it is something good. You are not worshipping them, for you do not believe in their divinity, in their lordship. If a person like Ya'qub alayhi salam prostrates in front of his son Yusuf alayhi salam, though this is the extreme form of respect, but again, since it is not with the belief of Yusuf's divinity, it is not called as worshipping. It is only called excessive reverence, or excessive, we can say, respect. So when we pay homage to our parents, when we pay homage to our friends, our colleagues, our different people, so we do not worship them. We do not believe in their divinity. So such kind of respect is not a polytheistic act in practice. For example, when the Shiites are going to visit the graves of their infallible imams, when they have visitation of these holy shrines and tombs, for sure, they only pay respect. They do not believe in divinity of their infallible imams. When you do not believe in one's divinity, so you do not make him the subject of your worship. Why? Because you do not believe in their divinity. If you do not believe in their divinity, if you respect him, it is a matter that you can do it. You can continue respecting them. So some of the doubts that have been raised by some of the Salafis against the Shi'ite doctrines of visitation of the graves and visitation of the holy tombs and shrines, by true understanding of Tawheed and Ibadah, we can respond them. We believe that, tell me what worship is. If worship is the lexical meaning that it includes every kind of respect, for sure you are wrong. For worship has a technical meaning too. In technical meaning, this essential condition is there, that you have to believe in one's divinity, or you have to believe in a thing's divinity. If you do not believe in one's divinity, if you do not believe in one thing's divinity and lordship, then he is not the subject of your worship. He cannot be the subject of your worship. Yes, if a person goes and says that, oh, my infallible Imam, you are the independent source of power and strength, and you can respond my request without reliance to Almighty Allah's power, so this is a polytheistic act. But none of the Shi'ites do it. All the Shi'ites believe that their infallible imams were the creators, first. Secondly, they were the most lenient, the most submissive and gentle servants of Almighty Allah. Thirdly, they were the great personalities through whom Almighty Allah's blessings were showered upon the human beings. There is no sign of polytheism. There is no sign of polytheistic acts and practices that some of the Salafis criticize the Shi'ites. If this kind of actions are called as polytheistic acts, so the actions that were done by the angels of Almighty Allah that deserves more to be called as polytheistic act. Why Almighty Allah ordered his angels to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam? As the verse of the Holy Quran says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Our Lord Almighty Allah ordered his angels to prostrate for Adam alayhi salam, لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا. All the angels prostrated except or save the Satan. Abba was takbara. He defied Almighty Allah's order and commandment. Wa kana min al-kafirin, and he was of the disbelievers. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, the technical meaning and concept of ibadah should be taken into account in a good manner. That the technical meaning of ibadah is that you should not only pay homage, but also you should believe in one's divinity. If you do not believe in one's divinity, then you are not his worshipper. So this doubt of the Salafis will be responded like this, that when the Shi'ites go to the graveyards in the holy tombs or the shrines of their imams, they do not worship their infallible imams. Rather, they respect them, they pay homage, they pay reverence to these heavenly sent figures. The Shi'ites do not believe their divinity in their divinity either. All of them are the creature of Almighty Allah. All of them were submissive servants of Almighty Allah. No one goes in the holy shrine asking the imams independently. No, they say that Almighty Allah, these infallible imams have a prestige, an honorable reputation in front of you for bringing about the greatest services they could in their life for the sake of you, O Lord. If I do not have a reputation to ask my favor, by the intercession of them, you may give my responses. So this is a monotheistic belief. It does not contradict our monotheistic belief. It is not, and it should never be called a polytheistic practice and act. So this is the response that be given to those people who think that worship means respect. No, in worship we have to have another condition, and that is believe in one's divinity. Since none of the Shi'ites believe in the divinity of their infallible imams, they should never be called polytheists, and their actions should never ever be labeled and be branded as polytheistic practices. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, the final point is this, that, you know, when some misunderstandings take place in the Muslim world, how catastrophic the events and the aftermath of these misunderstandings is and will be. You know, nowadays, in different parts of the Muslim world, hundreds and thousands of lives have been the victim of these misunderstandings. They misunderstood the heavenly teachings of Islam. They could not distinguish between the true understanding and the false. So they kill the Shi'ites, they commit suicides in the holy shrines, thinking, assuming that they obliterate the polytheists. While we could prove by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah that this is not true, this is something, a monotheistic belief, that if you pay homage to the great saints of Almighty Allah, if you pay respect to the heavenly sent prophets, it is something monotheist. It is something in accordance with our monotheistic beliefs. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, we have to be heedful that we have to truly understand Islam and its teachings. Otherwise, if there were some misconceptions, there would have been fatal and detrimental, catastrophic and tragic events and aftermath and consequences. May God bless us all to be the real followers of the real teachings of Islam. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.